Hello, beloved. So wonderful to be with you, and we have the privilege of looking at the privileges of believers. And we are busy with part 9 of the privileges of believers. Before we continue, let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you so much that we can come to you once again, knowing that you are the living Almighty God that hears us when we pray. Father, we are so dependent on you to open up your word to us, so that we can understand. We are so dependent on God the Holy Spirit to illuminate the Word, so that we can understand what it has to say to us. And when we look at the privileges of believers, Father, I pray, please, will you open up your Word to us, help us to understand, help us to take to heart, and so that we can also apply it in our lives. This I pray in Jesus' precious name. Enable me as your servant to teach your people, Father, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, now we're looking at the privileges of believers, and this is part 9. And today we're going to look at believers are privileged to be led by the Holy Spirit. That's amazing, beloved. We are not only privileged to be indwelled by the Holy Spirit, that already in itself is an amazing privilege that we have that others do not have. And not even in the Old Testament. You know, the Old Testament saints, the Holy Spirit came upon them, right? That's what happened to them. The prophets, for example, when they would prophesy, the Holy Spirit would come upon them, and then they would prophesy the Word of God. But in the New Testament, the Holy Spirit is poured out onto believers, and the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, indwelled believers from the day of Pentecost onwards. That's just amazing. There are people that says that the baptism in the Holy Spirit is an event that needs to take place somewhere after our conversion, and the baptism of the Holy Spirit is something different than the infilling of the Holy Spirit or the Holy Spirit coming and indwelling us. I believe that the Scripture teaches us that the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, that was the first time the Holy Spirit came and indwelled believers. And right through the book of Acts, we see how the Holy Spirit went from, or was poured out from Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the othermost parts of the earth, in Ephesus. We see it. And then, from then on, every single believer who is born again, the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, comes and indwells that believer. And indwells that believer until the day that they are taken to heaven to be with Christ forever and ever. Whether it be through death or whether it is at the day when Jesus Christ returns and we meet him in the air, doesn't matter. It is still, it's the Holy Spirit who dwells within us, who enables us to be born again. He is the one who regenerates us. He is the one who sanctifies us. He is the one who is busy working in us and guiding us and directing us to become everything that God wants us to be. That's all the work of the Holy Spirit that indwells us. Beloved, it is amazing that we have the privilege to be indwelled by the Holy Spirit. But then, we also are privileged to be led by the Holy Spirit on a daily basis. The world doesn't have this. It's only believers who have the privilege that God the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, indwells us and then he leads us. He directs our footsteps. He directs us and he leads us to where he wants us to go. And he leads us in all things because he is amazing. That's just absolutely amazing. Now, there are 4 passages of Scripture I want to share with you. And these passages just so beautifully explains to us the whole idea of this privilege that we have, that we are led by the Holy Spirit. The first one is in John chapter 16, verse 13 to 15. And here Jesus stated basically that the Holy Spirit was to come, and that was yet future. Now, remember, this was Jesus still alive. It wasn't the day of Pentecost yet. The Holy Spirit was still to come. And when the Holy Spirit would come, he would guide, basically, or we can say, lead the disciples into all truth. And then he would tell them, or he would reveal to them what was yet to come. He would reveal to them things that were yet in the future. Now, let's just read John chapter 16, verse 13 to 15. It says, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come. It's amazing how the Holy Spirit is introduced to the disciples here. He is introduced as the Spirit of truth. So Jesus says, however, when he, that's the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. Oh, beloved. He will guide the disciples into all truth. Remember that many of the disciples and others who were guided and directed by the Holy Spirit were inspired by the Holy Spirit to write the scriptures, the New Testament, of which Paul, the apostle, obviously had the greatest privilege of writing most of the New Testament. But it was the Holy Spirit who would guide them into all truth. And this is important. When we talk about truth, in John chapter 17, just one chapter later, when Jesus does his high priestly prayer, this is what he says in John 17, verse 17. He says, sanctify them in your truth. Speaking about the disciples, now. Sanctify them in your truth. And then he says, your word is truth. So when the Spirit of truth comes, and he guides the disciples into all truth, what is he going to guide them into? He's basically going to guide them, or he's going to lead the disciples to the Word of God, to what God says, to what God reveals. Okay, and then what happened with the disciples and those who wrote the Bible, the New Testament? They started writing down the Word of truth. They started writing down what the Spirit of God had to say to them, how the Spirit of God guided them and leaded them. The Bible says they were inspired by the Holy Spirit. Nah? The Word of God was basically breathed into them by the Holy Spirit. Yes, the Holy Spirit used their own personalities, types, and the Spirit used their backgrounds and their education and all these things. The Holy Spirit used all of that, but the Holy Spirit breathed the Word into them. It is like a massive big ship with massive big sails. And this ship is moved in a direction. When the wind comes and it blows into the sails, that is how the Holy Spirit blew the Word of God, the Word of truth. Nah? The Holy Spirit blew it, kind of breathed it into the disciples and the writers of the New Testament. Obviously, also the writers of the Old Testament. It's just absolutely amazing to know this. So he will guide you into all truth. That's kind of, when we talk about leading, that is the Holy Spirit guiding or leading the disciples to be able to write down the truth of God's word so that we can have it today. All right, but he continues. He says, for he will not speak of his own authority. I think the King James just says he will not speak on his own, which means he will not just speak. The text continues to say, but whatever he hears, he will speak. So he will only make known that which is from God the Father. So whatever was decided in the Trinity, among the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, what was decided in the Trinity, that is what the Holy Spirit would speak. He would not speak anything else. Because remember, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit is one. All right, so that's what he will speak. He will only speak what has been decided within the triune God, what will be said. All right, and then he continues and he says, and he will tell you things to come. Now, how can the Holy Spirit tell the disciples about things to come? It's simple. It's actually very simple. The Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, knows all things. God is outside of time and space, which means he knows the beginning from the end. And he can tell the disciples the things that is to come because he already knows what is going to be the end. He cannot only foresee it. Because God is outside of time and space, it means that God is already at the end, while at the same time he is at the beginning. Now this is too high for me to come by, but beloved, that's just amazing about God. All right, then verse 14, and here's a beautiful one. It says, He, that's the Holy Spirit, will glorify me. So what the Holy Spirit does, and beloved, this is a character trait of the Holy Spirit. It's in the nature of the Holy Spirit to basically exalt Christ, to lift Jesus Christ up. So whenever you want to know if the Holy Spirit is at work, we just need to look at whether Jesus Christ is lifted up. Because if Jesus Christ is lifted up, that's the Holy Spirit at work. If Jesus Christ is not exalted and lifted up, if he's not glorified in the sense of being lifted up and exalted, then it's not the Holy Spirit. That's why our motto at Newcastle Baptist Church, or our slogan, whatever you want to call it, is we desire to glorify God the Father through the power of the Holy Spirit. We desire to glorify God the Father as we exalt Jesus Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit. That's our motto. For a moment, I forgot it myself. All right, so what we want to do is to glorify God the Father above all things. But how do we do that? We exalt Jesus Christ. And how is it possible to exalt Jesus Christ? It's through the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit that enables us to glorify the Father and exalt Jesus Christ. And this is what he says in verse 14 of John 16. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. Verse 15, all things that the Father has are mine. Therefore I said that he will take of mine and declare it to you. It's within the Trinity that God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit is not speaking different things, is not doing different things, even though each person in the Trinity has his own function. In essence, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit is one. All right, so in that sense, everything that the Father has is the Son's, and everything that the Son's, that belongs to the Son, belongs to the Holy Spirit, and vice versa, and so on, because God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit is one. All right, but the Holy Spirit, he came to lead disciples or to guide disciples into all truth, and then he would reveal to them the things that is to come. And beloved, this is the wonderful thing. We have it all. We have it. We have the Word. We have the revealed Word of God, which means we know what God wants. We know what is going to happen in the future, those things that God wanted to reveal to us. We are not ignorant of what is going to happen. We have the Word of God that teaches us and directs us and leads us and guides us. We have it all. It was given by the Holy Spirit. And what will the Holy Spirit do? The Holy Spirit will basically, he led the disciples into all truth, okay? And he revealed to them what is yet to come, and it is written down so that we can now go and we can go and study it. We can read the scriptures. We can study the scriptures to see what the truth is. So we are privileged to be led by the Holy Spirit, beloved. The disciples were privileged to be led by the Holy Spirit because they had to still write down the truth, so, and it had to be revealed to them, and what is going to happen in the future was to be revealed to them. But we have the scriptures, all right? And this is where Romans chapter 8, verse 14 to 16 comes in, because it tells us that the children of God, now that we are led by the Spirit. Listen to Romans 8, verse 14 to 16. It says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. So when are you a child of God? Is when you are led by the Holy Spirit. All right, verse 15 says, for you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. All right, so we do not fear death anymore. There was a time that we used to fear death, but we do not fear death anymore. We have been adopted into God's family, and we are being led by the Holy Spirit. Right now, at first we saw in John chapter 16 that God the Holy Spirit led the disciples to write down, and those who wrote the New Testament, to write down to us what the truth of God, the truth of God's word, to write down God's word for us. He would tell them what would happen in the future, and that was all written down for us. And here in Romans chapter 8, what we see here is God the Holy Spirit now comes and he basically illuminates the word of God to God's children. So if we say the word, if we read the words that says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God," which means as many as those people who are being illuminated by God to understand the scriptures and to be able to apply what they read in scripture, those people are children of God. So if God illuminates his word to you and to me, it means that we are children of God. If God the Holy Spirit illuminates it to such an extent that we can understand it and apply it to our lives and bear the fruit that comes with it, we are children of God. You see, the Holy Spirit is the one who inspired the Word of God. Nah? He's the one who inspired, who led the disciples into all truth. And what he does is he knows the Word. So he leads us to the Word, and then he illuminates the Word to us so that we can understand it and then apply it to our lives. Isn't that amazing? Beloved, that's a privilege only for believers. That's why sometimes you will find unbelievers, they would read the Bible, but they cannot understand the Bible. And the reason for that is they have not been illuminated by the Spirit of God. That's a privilege for believers only. You see, because we are privileged to be led by the Holy Spirit. Okay. Now, something that we need to understand about the guidance or the leading of the Holy Spirit. You will find that the guidance of the Holy Spirit or the leading of the Holy Spirit is basically the opposite of what our sinful flesh wants. Listen to Galatians 5, verse 17 to 18. It says, "For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another," which means they oppose one another. Now they stand head to head against one another. And then he continues, Paul continues to the Galatians, and he says, "So that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law." You see, the law, if you break one of the laws, just one law, you have broken all of them. And what is the consequence of breaking the law? The consequence of breaking the law is death. But you see, we are no longer under the law because the Spirit, when the Spirit came and dwelled us and we were born again, we were regenerated by God's Spirit. What God did was he took us out from under the law and we've been placed under grace. We've been placed under the leading of the Holy Spirit. You see, and what happens now is the Holy Spirit and what the Holy Spirit wants. And the leading and the guiding of the Holy Spirit, or the guidance of the Holy Spirit, is so different to what our flesh wants, that the two oppose one another. They stand on opposite sides of one another. And as the New King James says, they are contrary to one another. Right, so the law, if you break the law, it leads to death. But if you're led by the Spirit, because you are now in the kingdom of God, nah? And because we are in the kingdom of God and the Holy Spirit indwells us, what now happens is we are led by the Spirit to life eternal. That's just, wow, so amazing. And then, last one I quickly want to share with you is in Luke chapter 4 verse 1, when we talk about the privilege of being led by the Spirit. And this is where we see how the Holy Spirit leads a man. Now, the man is a very special man because this is Jesus Christ. Eh? Jesus was fully God, fully man at the same time. But as a man, we read in Luke chapter 4, verse 1, "Then Jesus, being filled with the Spirit, returned from the Jordan," and here it says, "and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness." So here the Holy Spirit directly takes Jesus and leads Jesus to a specific place. Where? The desert or the wilderness. And what would happen there? Jesus would fast and then he would be tempted by the devil. So the Holy Spirit very specifically led Jesus to the wilderness too fast so that he can be tempted by the devil. And this is the first place that we see direct guidance, or let's say where the Holy Spirit, the verb to guide or to lead, is used in a practical way. Now, in relation to the Holy Spirit working or leading a man directly, and it's in the person of Jesus Christ. Beloved, that's the privilege we have. We have the privilege to be indwelt by the Holy Spirit, and we are privileged to be led by the Holy Spirit. And let me tell you, that is absolutely amazing. Absolutely amazing. Right. Let's pray. Father, thank you that we are led by the Spirit, by your Holy Spirit. God, the Holy Spirit leads us into, led the disciples into all of the truth. And it was written down for us. So if we read your word, we have the truth and we can read your truth. And thank you that God, the Holy Spirit illuminates the word to us so that we can read and understand and then apply it to our lives. Oh, Father, thank you so much. May we consciously think about the fact that we are led by the Spirit. And, oh, Father, please lead us. Direct our footsteps so that at the end of the day, you may be glorified. Jesus Christ may be exalted. And in and through the Holy Spirit. Oh, thank you, Father. As we go into this week, the rest of this week, God willing, until we meet again, Father, I pray, please, may we experience the leading of the Spirit very personally, each one of us, so that we may just glorify you more and more. In Jesus' name we pray this. Amen. Thank you very much for listening to this, The Privileges of Believers, Part 9. God willing, until next time when we see each other again or hear each other again, not see but hear, may the Lord bless you and keep you, may his face shine upon you, and may he give you his peace as you are being led by the Holy Spirit. Till next time, God willing, bye-bye.